This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome to the Bring Your Product Idea to Life podcast. This is the podcast for you if you're getting started selling products or if you'd like to create your own product to sell. I'm Vicky Weinberg, a product creation coach and Amazon expert. Every week, I share friendly, practical advice as well as inspirational stories from small businesses. Let's get started. Hello, today I'm speaking with Millie Jaspert from Sparkbubble. Sparkbubble is an online store selling bath toys for children aged 2 to 9 years old. Millie has developed some of the toys herself and others are a curated collection created by other brands. Millie is also a primary school teacher, so she chose open-ended toys and she gives suggestions for ways children can explore and learn with them. I had a really fascinating conversation with Millie. As I mentioned, there are two aspects to her business, so she has some products that she has created herself as well as ones that she created some other businesses. So this made for a really interesting conversation, and I would love now to introduce you to Millie. Hi Millie, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great. I can't wait to speak to you.
So can we start by you please giving an introduction to yourself, your business and what you sell?
Certainly. So my name's Millie Jaspert and my business is called Sparkbubble. And it's an online store that sells bath toys, particularly for not kind of babies, slightly older than that, for kind of 2-year-olds up to 9-year-olds. And looking, I'm a teacher. I still teach 3 days a week. And it's kind of looking for interesting bath toys that can help children explore and learn whilst they play with them.
Well, that's really interesting. Thank you. Because, yeah, I have a 6-year-old and I feel that it's a funny age because they still want to play in the bath, but most of the bath toys on the market are for much younger children.
Yeah, exactly. That was completely what made me start it in the beginning, that I had children of my own and I just struggled to find the kind of things I was looking for, because I've certainly, my boys, and it sounds like yours as well, your child, you know, aged sort of 4, you know, up to about 10, they still want to have baths and play. But there's really, I found that it was really tricky to find things that they'd enjoy. And particularly they enjoy night after night. So that was really what got me thinking, like there genuinely seems to be a gap here. And, you know, why not start to fill it? See what I can do to produce toys that children would like to play with.
Yeah, I think so. I have 2 children as well, but my eldest was sort of grew out of the bath toy thing quite early, I think. Okay. Liked having showers. But my youngest, now almost 7, yeah, still does like to play in the bath. But we do struggle actually, and also what we usually end up playing with are things that aren't conventional bath toys. Yeah. But are just plastic toys that can go in the bath.
Exactly. So that's great sometimes, but it is quite nice to have some that are like perfectly suited to play with in the bath. So yeah, that was all kind of part of my thinking, to kind of cater for those children who, you know, do want something a bit more challenging and interesting to play with when they're a bit older.
So I know that some of the products that you sell, you've curated from other places and some you've designed yourself. So let's maybe start with the products on your site that weren't created by you. And can we talk a little bit about sort of the process of how you went about finding them, selecting them? And then I guess it's also a bit involved in, you know, getting the approval to resell them. Could you mind talking us through how that works, please?
Certainly. Yeah, kind of chronologically, that actually came later. For some reason, I sort of jumped in the deep end, started developing my own first, which we can talk about in a bit. But then I realized there are actually a lot of other really great bath toys are quite hard to source almost, but for as a consumer, when you're looking, they're quite hard to find. They're not readily available in toy shops. And really what kind of led me to this was just about a year ago, I went to the toy show in Kensington Olympia, which is, you know, four toy shops to go to. And I just went for kind of market research, really, to just go and have a look and see what other brands were doing. And that's when I discovered, actually, there are some really interesting products being sold by different brands that that are quite tricky for people to get hold of. Well, not really, but you know, they don't jump out at you. You know, if you know about them, then you can find them, obviously. But they're not really apparent to you as a parent that this is available. So, for example, as a brand, Learning Resources, that sells products for schools, but they're lovely. They've got a lot going for them, these toys. They're really robust, but there's a lot of play value in them, and they do sell directly to consumer. So they're a great brand to stock, that you don't have to buy 20 of them. You know, you can, as a parent, you can just buy one directly from us. And lots of others. I found several others there, and that got me thinking. And then I contacted lots of other brands and got samples and had a look, and was really pleasantly surprised by what options there were.
I think you're right in that. So Learning Resources, I've obviously had a good look at your website, and I've seen some of the toys that you sell, and I have to be honest, a lot of them I haven't seen selling anywhere else.
Yeah.
And like you say, I haven't seen them in toy shops, so I'm not sure, you know, some of these brands, I guess they are out there, it's just they're not that easy to find.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I think there is a valid market and kind of bringing all the bath toys together. And then I try and always have some kind of tips about how you could maximize them, you know, what kind of games you could play and what you can do with your child, just, you know, to make it fun and interesting. And then also to help this learning side, because I can't help thinking, you know, what you can do to get your child thinking a little bit more and exploring and, you know, trying to discover for themselves.
That's great. And so when you found these brands, was it a case of just approaching them and asking if they would be up for you selling them via your site?
Exactly. And the companies I got contact were surprisingly open to it. And what really, you know, excited me as well was they didn't have massive minimum orders, particularly when I said I'm just starting up. Then they'd say, you know, that's fine, just £200 worth to begin with or something, which is you know, doable. So, yeah, I'm sure they're hoping it'll get bigger and bigger and that the large orders will come in. But, you know, nearly all of them, I think there were one or two I approached that didn't work out, and they do want, you know, significant orders. But, you know, about seven different brands or something were up for having a small order and just me giving it a try and see how it worked out.
That's really good. And it shows that there's a lot of value in just asking, isn't there? Because I mean, the worst someone can say is no, really. And exactly. And even then you haven't lost anything.
And I assume, you know, from their point of view, it's not stealing from any other sales they're doing elsewhere. You know, it's not kind of the now someone's not going to go into a toy shop. It's just if they specifically want bath toys, here's another option for them. So yeah, I can see why they think, well, we might as well let this person have not too many of them and see how it goes.
Of course. And it all helps with brand awareness, doesn't it, for them?
Yeah, exactly.
And I hadn't actually realized that was the part of your business that came later. So chronologically, I didn't realize you jumped in with designing your own first of all. That's brilliant, because I think arguably you probably took the, not, I don't want to say more difficult, but because there, you know, there's challenges with both approaches, but yeah, that wasn't where I guessed that you'd started.
Yes. And actually the very first step I took was too big a leap for me, and I haven't seen it through. It's still kind of on the back burner, something I'd like to do at some point. But when I first started Spark Bubble, I thought, right, I'm going to design some really cool bath toys. And I, you know, designed it on paper and, you know, worked. I got a designer online to help me and contacted manufacturers to see about making it, and actually had samples made. And then when it came to the actually putting in an order for 1,000 sets, I got nervous. And at that point, I thought, OK, I'll wait, maybe I need to build up slowly before I place that kind of order. So the very first thing was completely from scratch designing and getting nervous and thinking, well, I haven't wasted my time, but I haven't used it yet. Then the kind of middle one, in both senses, you know, time wise and risk wise, kind of becoming easier, was the two toys that I've developed when I've sourced different products are already available and then put them together as a set with a leaflet, with the branding, and sell that as a set. So those are kind of the two that I have created and put on the site at the moment. And then I moved on to the contacting other brands and selling through them and selling their products on my website.
Oh, so that's really interesting. So with your that's with a product that you've designed that isn't available just yet. So was it literally that point of needing to place an order when you weren't that sure?
It just felt like too much of a jump because, you know, it's the capital's all my own, and they needed, you know, 1,000 sets. Well, obviously I contacted different suppliers, but if so, it's using foam, and it's just not worth their while creating all the molds and things unless you do a huge order. So it was tens of thousands for the minimum order, and it just made me a bit nervous until I had a good customer base built up, whether I could definitely reach enough people with this.
Yeah, I'm not surprised actually. And that's a really big first order as well. I mean, lots of suppliers that I've worked with, you know, might want hundreds, and that's scary enough, but 1,000 is a really big number actually. I don't know, maybe at some point you'll be able to find someone who's willing to take on smaller orders, because there are factories out there, but as you'll know from the experience you've had, it's a long process finding someone that you're happy with, and you know, building that relationship, it's not an overnight thing, is it?
And I did contact several and had ongoing discussions with them. They all said a similar kind of thing. So I think it's just the significant setup cost. It's not worth it for a smaller run. But yeah, it's still there as a possibility. But in the meantime, I'm feel more comfortable with the route of finding the interesting bath toys that aren't out there enough, and doing, you know, getting those out in front of people, and also myself looking at how I can make new toys with what is already available out there, but putting them together as a set.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And as you say, a lot lower risk as well. And also, I guess a bit less time intensive, given that you're also working as a teacher a few days a week as well.
So I have to, you know, it is at the moment, it's still at a side hustle stage, and fitted in around teaching and family life and all the other things that keep us busy. But it's really exciting. I really enjoy it, and really is really rewarding watching Spark Bubble grow and having that contact with customers and hearing how much children enjoyed playing with their new toys, etc.
It's really nice, and it's also, yeah, it's really, I think it must be really rewarding as well to sort of curate the products in the way that you do, which is a really nice approach, sort of, rather than, like you say, rather than creating something, I guess it's curating and then, you know, getting them in front of people. I think that's actually really nice and really beneficial for you and for the brands that you stock as well.
No, it's working well. I'm really enjoying it, and and building up relationships with customers as well, and getting an idea of what other things they're looking for too. So it gives me good tips about where to go to next, as now that I have people that I'm in contact with.
And I'm really interested in the products of yours that you do have, because I think that's also a really nice option for people that may not have even considered this. So you're taking, is that right, that you're taking existing products and sort of putting them together?
Yeah, absolutely. So that one of them, when my son Oscar was, you know, six-ish or something, he was really into science. I thought, oh, I'll get him a bath science set. And I was having a look, and I just couldn't find anything like what I was looking for. So that's one of them. I call it Dribble Lab. And I've got a selection. It comes with a kind of microscope with various measuring cylinders, a little pipette, a little funnel. So what I've done, just contacted different manufacturers and got these products. And I've got a kind of net that sticks onto the wall to store them in, and to sell it as a set. So you can have as a starter science set to play with in the bath, and then produce a leaflet with ideas about the kind of games that you can play with it.
Well, I think that's really clever, and yeah, I really like that, because I haven't spoken to anyone else who's done anything like that, and I think that's really smart. And presumably, if you found another theme you wanted to create something similar, you know, something along the same lines, you could do the same thing, source all the different components and package them together. And I think, yeah, I think that's actually a really clever way of doing it, because you're not creating everything from scratch. There isn't that huge outlay. I think that's a really nice idea.
It's kind of, it feels like the starting point that ideally, you know, I've got kind of ideas for toys I'd love to produce in the future, you know, starting from scratch. But it's just such a bigger job to do that. And, you know, in every sense of it, you know, the financial outlay, the time invested, the risk factor, you know, because if you're creating from scratch and you really need to kind of rigorously test every component, make sure it's all really safe, etc. So yeah, it feels like a nice kind of way to dip my toes into creating my own products, and you know, can see in you know, a year or whatever, if I'm feeling braver, then I can return more to the original idea of creating products from scratch.
Yeah, but as you say, I think that's a really nice way of doing it. And I really like that approach. And I think that's something for people to think about, that is there as an intermediate step something you can do similarly just to get started? I think creating a set is a really, yeah, I think that's a really nice idea.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've got another one as well. So it's two that I've done, the Dribble Lab, and then also Splashy Towers, which is kind of three-dimensional shapes and a float. So it's kind of, it's basically playing with blocks, and you can make, castles and bridges, whatever you want, but it's on a float in the bath. So again, I've got the blocks, got the float, got the storage net, and it all goes together in a set, and that, nothing really like it. So it's working well.
Yeah, I think that's really nice, and I do hope that for everyone listening, that all sort of sparks some ideas. Maybe I think
Oh, thank you.
that's really nice. One other thing I'd like to talk about a bit, if that's okay, is I think it might be your Instagram. I saw this, Millie, that you spent some time selling your products in a pop-up shop, and I was just quite curious about that and how that came about and how you found it, because that's a nice way, isn't it, to get your products on a shelf without sort of having to go down the traditional wholesale route, perhaps.
Exactly. No, and this was a real early days opportunity that I just happened to spot, really. Just the town I live in is called Horsham in West Sussex, and they've got a nice dynamic town council, and they set up, I sort of just happened to see Horsham pop-up stores coming. It was last year, so kind of November, December, and January. No, November, December 21 and January 22. And it was, apply if you would like to sell your product. And at that point, I only had the two. So I literally just had Splashy Towers and Dribble Lab. And they had various kind of packages you could buy. So some people had a little store within the store. And I literally took a shelf. I took the kind of smallest one. And you didn't have to be there all the time. There was a store manager. So I attended, like I say, I'm teaching quite a lot, et cetera. So I'd go in on a Saturday, and when I'm free on a Tuesday, I'd pop in for a few hours, and then the rest of the time the store manager. And it was so beneficial. I think the main benefits were when I was there, it was a lovely chance to speak to people, and a lot of people coming up and having nice discussion about, oh, I'd love, think my grandchild would love this. They've got special needs. Actually, I was showing them the prototype for the one I was inventing from scratch, which is all about faces and feelings. So I got some really good kind of customer feedback about that. And just interacting with them, so that was really positive. And also meeting the other people selling, the other kind of local entrepreneurs. I'm still in contact now. We've got WhatsApp groups and things, and other people's businesses going in different directions, but it's just all part of the support network and people to chat things through with.
Yeah, and that's really important, isn't it? Because particularly if you don't, when you start up your own business, and obviously you've come from a teaching background, you may not necessarily have
Oh,
connection to other
absolutely.
people in business. And it's so invaluable, isn't it? Just to hear what people are doing, get ideas.
Exactly. And just people to chat things through with. And no, so that was another really nice benefit from it. So yeah, if anyone's got a similar opportunity in their area, then I'd definitely go for it. Or if your council's asking for ideas about how to regenerate or something, then suggest a pop-up store, because the customers loved it. They come in and always interesting little starting up local brands. And at least two, I think, from the people who are there now have proper stores in Horsham. So one guy did a nice plant stall within it, and now he's got this fantastic, it's in a shopping centre, but it's really vibrant and lovely, his plant store, called Hugo and Green, and that's totally come from the pop-up, which is great.
That is great, because it sounds like a really nice opportunity to sort of test out your products and see how well they sell in a store. Because I think there are definitely some things that sell better. I mean, I think plants is a really good example. I'm convinced that plants, I don't know this, but I'm convinced they sell better in person than online. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm buying a plant, I want to actually smell it and see it. And yeah, the thought of buying one online seems a bit, even though I'm a big shopper online, plants is something I don't think I would. So.
Well, he's doing really well, and his store's lovely. I'd say it's definitely the highlight of the shopping centre. It's this really kind of, and it's really unique, and you can feel his character coming out in it rather than the generic stores elsewhere in the shopping centre. So it's
That's
great.
amazing. So it sounds like that pop-up shop experience was great for him as well, as a way of just testing out whether people wanted that.
Exactly. No, it was a big success. And several others, from the group I've seen, their business has taken up since then. Maybe I've thought of this before, that maybe it's people who are quite dynamic who got involved in the pop-up store, or you know, but then it also, I think it did genuinely help kind of give everyone a push in the right direction. And, you know, everyone's doing slightly different things, but they've all kind of gone up a level since the opportunity began, which is super.
It is just good, isn't it, to get your products in front of people. And as you said, to actually talk to your customers as well and find out what they think and what they're looking for.
Yeah, no, it was really great. I really, I'm really glad I did it. And and I think another thing I've considered but I haven't really done yet is a lot more of the fairs and things. You know, there's so many kind of events that are just on for weekends. But yeah, at the moment, I feel I'm a bit too pulled in so many directions that I try to keep my work on SparkBubble. So kind of the Mondays and Tuesdays when I'm not working is a good time. I don't really want to spend all weekend going to fairs and things. But that would be a nice option.
That makes sense. I think as well, especially if you have limited time, it's choosing the right ones for you as well, isn't it? So I don't know, ones aimed at parents perhaps, because I know that there are so many options out there to for fairs and events. And it's just thinking about where your customers will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it need to be the right one. So maybe I'll try and do one or two this year just to kind of explore that a bit more.
As you said, the opportunity to just talk to customers is invaluable. And are you finding that they're giving you sort of ideas of things that they would like or their children would like?
Yeah, no, definitely. They've, you know, just when they kind of ask, you know, do you have kind of balls that bounce on water? And it's like, do you think that'd be interesting in the bath? I know that's good in a swimming pool, but, you know, so it just kind of gets you thinking about, you know, options and things to explore a bit more. So it's definitely, you always need to speak to your customers, don't you? That's the most important thing. There's no good just thinking in isolation about what people want. You actually need to talk and see, is that really what they're thinking as well?
Absolutely. And have you had any feedback? I'm just being curious, but have you heard any feedback from children, I guess, including your own children, and what they like?
When I'm deciding which products to stock, my younger son's one of the chief testers, so he'll do it. And likewise, my nieces and nephews and friends' children and things. So, let's say it's very much. And it's quite interesting to get the same toy and give it to a few children of different ages and see what they think and how they play with them. Because the same items can be played with very differently at different stages, which is, you know, something I look for, the ideal toy. You don't want it to be the child's bored of it in 6 months. You want it to be able to be kept for kind of 4 years, and it grows with the child almost.
Yeah, I found that really interesting on your website, actually, that a lot of the toys did have these big age spans. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting, because you're right. So many toys our children want, sort of, you know, they can be a bit of a fad, or they only last for a very short period of time. But I think as parents, we're always just looking for those toys that are going to have a longer life and aren't going to be just unloved in 3 months or whatever it is.
Yeah. And from a sustainability point of view as well, you don't just fill the world with plastic. You know, you want it to be as a special toy that a child enjoys many years and then gives to their cousin. And, you know, it kind of, you know, keeps being useful for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And is that some of the criteria you have? So coming back to the products you source, is that one of the criteria? I'll ask a more open question. What criteria do you have for the toys that you stock on your website?
Yeah, that is definitely one. Being kind of open-ended and enjoyable night after night. I find toys, you know, a squirter or something, like how often can you squirt? That's just, I don't think that's fun day after day after day. Whereas one that gets you thinking and creating is completely it. So the criteria, I'm trying to think. I think at some point I did write a list, but over time it's more just become a kind of feeling about, you know, is this going to work or not. But obviously it needs to be, I hate it when mold goes inside toys. So, you know, just the kind of practical health and safety things that, you know, I don't want one that could go yucky in the bathroom. So that's a kind of complete essential. It has to be interesting time and time again. One of our kind of values is being good for the environment. So I kind of look for brands that are as good as they can be. So I don't have an absolute no plastic rule or anything, because that would just be too difficult at the moment. But I'm looking for brands that do what they can in the choices they make, in the packaging, in the, you know, whether the items are recyclable, etc. And yeah, I think those are some, and just a bit different and interesting. I don't want to sell the things I've seen before. I want them to be something a bit challenging that help children think and learn whilst they play with them.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. And thank you so much for everything that you've shared, Millie.
It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. I'm keeping an eye on the time. Do we have time, do you think, for one final question? Would that
Certainly.
Be all right?
That would be great.
So what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators?
I think all the business people, I think my experience is just to give things a go. And, like I've done various things I've explained to you. I've sort of tried to find a not too expensive way to go. I don't suddenly find that instead of generating money, I'm losing money. So it's kind of finding those little steps just to try things, look for opportunities. And it's only by trying that you can learn. And if you give something not too big a shot and it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. Like I made samples for the very first product I made, which they haven't really gone anywhere, but I didn't spend a fortune, so that can just go in my kind of learning experience pot, and maybe at some point I'll use them. But I'm so glad to have given this whole venture a go, rather than just have had a kind of, I wonder if I should have started a business. Just try it and see.
Oh, that's brilliant advice and a really nice outlook as well, so thank you for sharing that, Millie.
Not at all. No, it's been great to speak to you. Thank you very much for getting in touch. And yeah, hope you and all your listeners do well in the future, all their endeavours.
Oh, thank you so much, Millie.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again and see you next week. Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.